Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Silent Coup. The Removal of a President is a Political Investigation and Revisionist History of the Watergate Era. Originally written by Len Kolodny with Robert Getlin and first published in 1991, then expanded in 1992, the book argues that the accepted explanation of Watergate is incomplete and that the scandal grew out of deeper internal conflicts inside the Nixon administration, intelligence circles, and press coverage. Rather than treating the break-in at the Democratic National Committee as an isolated crime that spiraled into a constitutional crisis, the authors frame it as part of a wider struggle over power secrecies and presidential control. The work is notable for challenging a familiar historical narrative and for presenting a highly controversial alternative reading of figures such as John Dean, Alexander Haig, and Bob Woodward. Its purpose is not simply to recount Watergate, but to reinterpret the collapse of Nixon's presidency through a disputed chain of motives and alliances. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a revisionist theory that reassigns responsibility for the Watergate break-in. The central argument of Silent Coup is that the Watergate burglary did not arise from the straightforward political sabotage commonly described in standard stories. Kolodny and Getlin proposed that John Dean played a far more active role than usually acknowledged, linking the break-in to his efforts to protect personal interests. This reinterpretation is the book's main intervention. It does not merely question details of the official account, but challenges the basic assignment of motive and culpability. By shifting suspicion toward actors inside the Nixon White House, rather than only toward the burglars themselves, the authors attempt to explain why the scandal developed with such speed and why the response inside the administration was so unstable. The result is a narrative that treats Watergate less as a single criminal episode and more as a concealed political operation whose origins were obscured by later reporting and testimony. Secondly, John Dean as a pivotal insider with a concealed private motive. A defining feature of the book is its claim that former White House counsel John Dean was not simply a witness to events, but a central participant in shaping them. The authors argue either that his actions were connected to information that could have damaged his personal life and future marriage, which gave him a reason to control or redirect exposure of the burglary. This is important because it recasts Dean from a classic whistleblower figure into someone whose testimony and behavior must be read through self-protection and strategic manipulation. In the book's framework, Dean becomes the key to understanding why internal White House decisions around Watergate were so contradictory. Whether readers accept the thesis or not, the analytical value lies in showing how personal vulnerability can intersect with political crisis. The book uses Dean to illustrate how private incentives may influence public conduct, especially when those incentives are hidden behind official statements and later recollections. Thirdly, Alexander Haig, secret communications, and the idea of a coup inside the presidency. Another major strand of the book is the claim that Nixon's chief of staff, Alexander Haig, collaborated with national security personnel in ways that undermined Nixon's presidency. This is the source of the coup language in the title. Since the authors argue that the administration was not simply reacting to Watergate, but was also being destabilized from within. By focusing on Haig, the book broadens the scandal beyond campaign politics and into the realm of executive power, military-adjacent communication systems, and internal maneuvering at the highest levels of government. The implication is that control of information mattered as much as control of events. The book suggests that secret channels, bureaucratic access, and strategic positioning allowed some officials to influence outcomes while preserving deniability. This gives the argument its conspiratorial structure, but it also explains why the book remains distinct from conventional Watergate histories. It treats the presidency itself as an arena of competing covert interests, rather than as a unified institution disrupted from outside. Fourthly, the challenge to Woodward and Bernstein as narrators of Watergate, Silent Coup, is also a critique of the journalistic record, especially the work of Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein. The authors argue that the celebrated Washington Post reporting did not simply uncover the truth, but also helped solidify an incomplete version of events by relying on questionable sources and by shaping facts into a compelling public story. Their allegation that Haig may have been deep throat is central to this challenge because it suggests that the reporters may have been guided by someone with insider motives rather than by a neutral informant. The book also points to Woodward's earlier White House connections as part of its effort to complicate the standard image of investigative independence. This topic matters because it shows that the book is not only about Watergate history, but also about how history gets written. The authors are arguing that journalism can become part of the political process it reports on, especially when access, secrecy, and narrative momentum influence what becomes accepted as fact. Lastly, why the book remains controversial documentation, counter-history, and unresolved credibility. The lasting importance of Silent Coup lies in its status as a provocative counter-history rather than a settled reinterpretation. Supporters have praised its documentation and argued that its evidence deserves serious attention, while critics have viewed it as an overly speculative challenge to a long-established account of Nixon's fall. That tension is part of the book's identity. It appeals to readers interested in archival argument, institutional secrecy, and the possibility that famous scandals are remembered through partial narratives. At the same time, its claims require careful reading because the book's conclusions are more ambitious than what can be established by broad public consensus. This makes it especially useful for readers who want to examine how historical narratives are built, defended, and disputed. The book stands out in the Watergate literature because it is not content to refine the accepted story. It tries to replace it with a competing explanation that connects personal motive, bureaucratic intrigue, and media influence into a single framework. In conclusion, Silent Coup is best suited for readers who already know the basic Watergate story and want to examine a radical alternative interpretation of it. It will be especially relevant to students of political history, media history, intelligence politics, and anyone interested in how major scandals are framed and reframed over time. Its main benefit is analytical rather than archival. In a narrow sense, it forces readers to think about motive, source credibility, insider access, and the way official narratives are assembled from fragments of testimony and reporting. What makes it stand out from other Watergate books is its refusal to accept the familiar distribution of blame. Instead of treating the scandal as a closed case, it reopens the question of who benefited, who controlled information, and who shaped the public record. Even readers who disagree with his conclusions can gain from seeing how a well-argued counter-narrative is constructed and why it provokes controversy. In that sense, the book remains significant not only for what it claims about Nixon, but for what it reveals about the instability of historical certainty in political scandals. If you would like to support Len Kolodny, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.